Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey friends, welcome back to the Risen Motherhood Podcast. I'm Emily Jensen and my co-host Laura Whiffler will be joining me in just a few minutes. But first, I wanted to let you know that today we're launching a new mini-series on the topic of grief and motherhood. This might not be the most fun or upbeat series we've ever recorded, but we know that grief is something that all moms experience at one point or another. Whether you're in the midst of a sorrow right now or you want to prepare your heart for what might lie ahead, we hope these episodes provide comfort and truth. In the coming weeks, we're going to cover a lot of different topics, including episodes on miscarriage, infant loss, adoption, chronic pain, and more. While this series is meant to be an encouragement to you, a podcast can't speak to the specific details and struggles of your day-to-day life. So as you're listening through, we hope you'll also consider reaching out to a trusted friend, mentor, counselor, or other medical professional that can speak to your specific circumstances. This series is not meant to give personal advice or be a substitute for professional help. Okay, a couple more things before we dive in. You know that at Risen Motherhood, we love a good equipping resource, so we're so excited to share that we've partnered with our friends at Every Moment Holy to produce a free digital download that includes 8 liturgies for moms walking through grief. This download touches on topics such as grieving our own failures, the death of a dream, sharing a common loss, and more. Our teams work together to adapt these liturgies specifically for a mom to pray through, and we really hope it's an encouragement to you. You can find all of the info for how to get your free download at risenmotherhood.com/grief. Resources like this are possible because of the generous support of our donors. To continue these free resources and producing the podcast, we need your help. We know everyone's capacity to give is different, but if you're able, we'd love for you to consider giving $30 per month to help us continue creating more series like this one. We have a goal for 100 new monthly partners to join us. Head to risenmotherhood.com/give to donate today. All right, let's dive into today's episode.
Well, hey friends. Emily and I are sitting here together in the recording room, and we are back for another season of Risen Motherhood. And we are addressing the topic of grief this season. And we know this is a heavier topic. This is a very big topic, but it's something that Emily and I have wanted to do for a long time. And what's interesting is while this might be the first episode that you guys are all hearing, actually, Emily and I are recording it on the tail end of having completed almost all of the episodes in the series. And, you know, Em, I was thinking about this, of that I'm just really grateful that we had a chance to hear the interviews that we are about to have our audience listen to in the future months to come, because it gives us so much good perspective for this first episode as you and I just talk about it together.
Yeah. I mean, this wasn't our plan. We were going to record this first, and we've had a string of sick kiddos and other things that have just pushed this recording off a little bit. And I'm so grateful because one of our concerns with this series is just knowing that not every episode will correspond with someone's personal experience and how heavy this topic is, and how even if we can kind of relate and we understand grief, we can sometimes avoid listening to other people talk about it because you just think, I don't want to compound that heaviness on top of what I'm already feeling, or maybe I'm not going through a season of grief, but I don't really want to hear about people who are grieving. And one of the gifts that we've had as recording is just to hear some incredible, encouraging truths. And we now get to share that with you on the front end to say, listen to every one of these interviews and episodes if you can, because we have left every episode encouraged. And we've left every episode, even with the heaviness, knowing that there is a greater hope. And we can't wait to talk more about that. I've just been amazed at, you know, for as worried as we were about like, oh man, this is going to be so hard to get through, there have been hard moments, but I have left deeply encouraged.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things I was surprised by is that in every episode, I've been brought to tears. And what someone might be sharing about one topic, let's say that's miscarriage or single motherhood, has applied to my own life, which I haven't experienced those things directly, but the truths that these interviewees were sharing just spoke just so straight to my soul. And that is where, like Emily said, we would just encourage you that even if you don't feel like you resonate with one of the topics that we'll be covering, we would encourage you to listen to all of them, because we know that all of you, all of our listeners, have experienced some types of griefs. And if you haven't experienced deep grief yet, that's okay. But at some point in your life, you will. And these interviews may prepare you well for that day when it comes. And so in this mini series, we're excited because we're going to be talking a lot about topics that Emily and I have not had a chance to cover, primarily because they are topics that we haven't personally experienced. So again, we encourage you to listen. There's miscarriage, single motherhood, chronic pain and disability, infant loss. We're going to talk about the hope of heaven. We're going to have a professional on to talk about counseling and grief and all that comes in with that. So there are several different episodes that we're hoping will cover a wide variety of topics that will be encouraging to you guys, again, even if you haven't personally experienced them.
And we know just from the DMs that we've received over the years and the comments that come in and post after post, or just the in-person conversations that we're able to have with listeners and community members of Risen Motherhood, that a lot of you guys have experienced loss in motherhood. And you're trying to figure out, how do you process that? How do you keep being a mother in the midst of your pain, your struggle, all the different things? And so today we're just going to kind of kick off with an overview of grief and some of the ways it impacts motherhood and just some of our own personal experience with it. So let's just start with the basics. Like, what is grief?
Yeah, this is a good question, but it's really just a feeling or experience of deep sorrow or despair. And it's usually caused by some kind of loss. Like Emily mentioned earlier, it can be big or little. It can be something that's really life-altering, or it can even be something smaller. Something like the loss of a marriage or a dream or your health, the sense of control, a loss of the life that you just thought you were going to have and you're not having right now. It can even be something like deep grief over the sin of the world, or even feeling like the loss of who you are, that you aren't who you wanted to be or who you thought you would become. So grief, it feels kind of ambiguous to explain, but most of us, when we're in it, we know what it is in general.
Yeah. And I know, Laura, you and I have both had different experiences of grief over the course of our motherhood. And I think it's interesting too, because we've talked about this a lot over the years, how we have different personalities. And so I think at times it's looked different for both of us. I know I've noticed that, you know, I'm more of an internal processor and, you know, I tend to be pretty steady on the outside, but on my inside, I can have like a real internal life that's going on and like a whole thought life and process. And I can feel, you know, deep sorrow or despair, or I notice things like in my physical body or just like in different patterns of the way I'm communicating, then it's like, oh, that's grief. And probably for me, when that most came to the surface was really through the season of diagnosis for our son with disabilities. And then, you know, that's hit with various waves at different points in life, often unexpectedly, where I'll have a moment where I'll realize like, oh, this is what he would have been doing at this stage, or this is what our family might have been able to do if he would have been typically developing. Or there's even been really, I mean, I'll use the word traumatic moments with him with certain health things that have really been impactful for me and have caused me to grieve in really deep ways. And so I think that it's just been interesting because I've noticed how it does affect my mothering of all of my children when I am grieving. Even if I'm not crying, there are things about me that are different through that process. And I've really had to apply truths and be patient to know that, ooh, I want this to be over right now. And I want to be back to my happy self. Like recently we were on a vacation with our family and we had something happen that brought on a huge wave of grief and emotion. And I spent half the trip just feeling bad that I wasn't fully enjoying the moment that we were in, but I couldn't because I was also grieving. And it's like this internal wrestling and frustration. And you know, something as quote unquote simple as being on a trip with your kids and saying, I want to enjoy this moment at the beach. But then deep down, I just feel kind of numb or sad or I don't know. It's just, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard and it can bring on a lot of guilt. And so we want to talk through that. But Laura, what does grief look like for you?
Mm. Well, it was really resonating where you were talking about at the end of just feeling kind of distant from your family, especially
as like a
mom.
Shell of yourself almost.
Totally. And I think that that does happen a lot in motherhood, where I didn't experience that type of feeling probably until I had children and I had a husband and I felt like, hey, I don't know if the word is, oh, but when I'm with those people, I want to give them all of me and I want to be fully present. But knowing that I'm grieving and maybe my children don't understand, so therefore they're not grieving the same way I am. And then my husband is handling things in a different way, mm-hmm. that I can feel alone and isolated, and I can feel like I'm kind of checked out, or it's kind of this out of body experience where you're feeling like all this stuff is going on around me, and yet I can do nothing but kind of ruminate here on the pain that I'm experiencing. And I know I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm definitely more emotional than Emily on the outside. So I know that for me, grief definitely is very visible when people are around me, even if I perhaps sometimes don't want it to be like that. I do feel like grief, just any emotion, kind of bleeds out of me, and definitely have felt like I become more angry easily or impatient. I can feel like I have just a lower tolerance to see the good things in life and to be joyful in life. And I feel like it really affects my attitude. And that was something that I didn't really realize. I thought for a while, I was like, well, I'm just kind of an angry person, or mm-hmm. you know, Lord, help me with the sin of anger or whatever. And then realizing that, like, no, that's just like my grief bleeding over, and it doesn't make it right. It's still wrong. But also the problem was deeper than my anger, right? Mm-hmm. The problem was that I was deeply grieving hard things in my life and had to process. And sometimes I needed time, but other times I probably needed to deal with in a healthier way with my grief. Mm-hmm. And instead I was just bulldozing through life as if nothing had changed. And I do tend to kind of power through, pull up your bootstraps, you know, that's the kind of mentality that I can have. And so, yeah, I feel like grief is very hard for me to contain, and it does just spill out of me, not always in ways that look like obvious grief, but that's what's underneath them. Mm-hmm. And it definitely affects my motherhood. I am disappointed in myself at times as a mom when I'm grieving, and that only compounds the grief, it seems like.
Ugh, I hear you. I mean, I think I wrote about this one time, but I was riding my bike one day. We live in Iowa, you know, with the cornfields.
Flat, so windy paths.
There's no trees to stop the wind. And I was headed north on my bike, like directly into a headwind. And it was about the same amount, like the same miles per hour as I typically ride. Uh-huh. And so basically, if I pedaled my normal speed and the wind is coming at me, I don't move. Does that make any sense?
Still going backwards.
And I realized that I was having to kind of put double the amount of effort in to go, mathematicians don't message us, but to go, you know, half the amount of distance or whatever. And I just thought that that to me is what it feels like to go through motherhood with grief, is like to just unload the dishwasher or make dinner, or, you know, respond to a child with kindness. It's like it takes double the amount of effort because you have this weight pressing against you. And so on the outside, you may still be going through these motions, but it's taking so much out of you to just do these basic things. And recently, I was watching a TV show that Laura likes too, that we were talking about before this. But in one of the episodes, the mom is really sad. Something really terrible has happened to her. And she's a very rich, privileged life. And so she's got people who take care of her children. And she just closed her curtains and just crawled into bed. Mm. And it was interesting because I had this thought of like, most moms can't just crawl back into bed.
Yeah.
We have something horrific happen to us. And your kid comes and tugs on your shirt and is like, Mom, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I want a snack. I want a snack. I want a snack. Mm. And you're like, I just had this really incredibly hard news or this incredibly painful thing happen, and you just want to crawl in bed, and like people still need you. Now, we are not in any way saying, we're going to talk through this in the, you know, throughout the series, that like you should just go and continue doing that and never take a moment to be by yourself. But I think that, that at least to some degree helps us understand that feeling of like motherhood goes on.
Yes.
Even when you're grieving, and we've got to figure out how to apply the gospel and like walk through that well. Mm.
So one of the things before we get too far that we want to note is just this idea of comparison and grief. And as we talk through some of these different things throughout this mini series, we're certainly not going to cover all the topics that one could cover. That would be a series that probably would never end. But we also want to just recognize how easy it is to start to compare griefs of thinking that someone's grief is less than ours and our grief is deeper and we have more reason to grieve. And I know, just even this idea that there might be some levels of grief. Like I think we would all agree that a mom who doesn't get the promotion she wants and is grieving about that, well, that is probably a lesser grief than someone who lost their child. Like that's objectively true. But at the end of the day, the reality is even two moms who have lost their child, who intimately know that horrific pain, still their losses are different. There are no two losses that are actually the same, and each stands alone and unique in the suffering that it brings. And so if we are to say that someone's loss is less than, we are actually somewhat invalidating how bad what happened to them was. And for those who think that they have suffered more or worse than anyone else, then they are falling into the trap of thinking that, oh, no one else can understand me. I alone have it the worst. I cannot be helped by anyone. And both of those things are really dangerous extremes. So we just want to encourage you as we dig into some specific circumstances that cause grief, that there isn't necessarily any worth or value in going through and saying, well, my grief is even worse than hers, so I can't learn from them, or my grief is different than theirs, and so I can't be helped by this person. But that we're hopeful that every mom who comes to this mini-series and just is experiencing griefs, even among your own personal friends, that you're able to say that we can learn from one another in these griefs. Because like we opened the show with, talking about how we were brought to tears by some of these interviews, while we were discussing griefs that we had never even experienced, the gospel is greater and the gospel can help us and meet us exactly where we're at.
We want to just take a minute to zone in on some unifying griefs that we all experience, because any mom listening who is a follower of Christ has felt the grief of her own sin in light of a holy God. And if we follow Christ, that means we've had a moment in our lives where we have despaired of our own efforts and our own inability, and we have thrown ourselves at the feet of Christ to receive the gift that he gives us on the cross. And I think nearly every mom who's gone on to follow the Lord also has some level of sadness in her heart at times over the state of the world and all of the suffering and all of the injustice and the death that is out there, whether she's experienced that firsthand in her own family or not. And so I want to just start there that, for all of our comparison, the reality is if we follow Christ, we have experienced that grief. We know the grief of death. We know the sting of it. We know the horrificness of sin at some level. And we all feel that sorrow and we all long for Christ to return and for everything to be made new. So as we dive into this series, I think one thing we want to do is focus less on like who has endured the greater sorrow in this life and whether or not that mom's sorrow is valid or not, and more on the God who hears and who sees and who shows mercy and compassion and steadfast love in the midst of that sorrow, and then to really apply the truth and the hope that we have. And, I think that there's one episode at the very end of this series you guys are going to hear. We're going to end on just the hope of heaven. And I just was so encouraged by that and by those truths, and just to be brought back to who God is and what we ultimately have to look forward to. And that as Christian moms, we can be unified around that.
Yeah. And I appreciate you talking about the fall and how we have all experienced loss because of that. And so kind of asking that question of like, why do we grieve, or where does grief come from? Well, like we're saying, it's from the fall. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They were in the garden living in union with God, and they disobeyed him. And now there is a loss. There is sin had entered the world, and Adam and Eve were forced to leave Eden, to head east, and death became a part of this world. And we know from Genesis 3 that motherhood specifically has increased pain. And some commentators even say that the word bear in verse 16 talks about the hardships and pains and troubles of motherhood, not just what we experience in labor, because we all know the pain of that, but also just in all of motherhood, that the cost of raising children is very high, and that we know now that motherhood from womb to tomb kind of thing, that is going to all include grief, and not just the day of the child's birth, but all the way through. And so that is, I think, helpful to understand that, like, this is the reality of what we live in. There is an explanation for how we live. It doesn't necessarily make it any easier, but there is an explanation for why we experience grief on this side of Eden.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's interesting because as that story goes on in Genesis, we get the narrative illustration of the pain of bringing forth children because, you know, Adam and Eve go on to have Cain and Abel, and one of their, I'm just always shocked by this, that like the next story after Eden is one where their younger son brutally murders his older brother. And it's interesting, they have Abel, and like likely they thought he was this promised seed. But sin and death were already so interwoven into their family and into humanity. Like, can you imagine?
No.
Not only you lost a child and it was because your other child killed them. And this was after Eden, for Adam and Eve, who had been in Eden with God. Like, how shocking. And so it just shows us right there, like, this is what family looks like now. This is what bringing up children looks like now. No, we don't experience that literally, but that should tell us something about what to expect in this story. And so there really is a sorrow in that. And I think that's why when we get to the bookend of the Bible, we see God saying in Revelation 21:4 that he's going to wipe away every tear because of all of the grief that we're going to experience in this life. It's why Jesus assures us we're going to face trouble and trials and tribulations, which is going to include grief. And it's just, it's interesting because it's all there mm-hmm. and it all makes sense. And at the very end, it's going to be resolved and all of those tears are going to be gone, but we're not to the end point yet.
Yes. Such good stuff, Em. We want to also talk today. We're going to unpack grief so much more over the mini series, but we want to start with just sharing three truths about grief that we're hopeful will be helpful to you. They are three truths that have really comforted Emily and I and some of our sorrows. And the first thing is to say that it is okay to grieve, that it is not wrong to feel sorrow and sadness and to be upset that things are not the way they're supposed to be. You know, in Isaiah 53, it says that Jesus was prophesied and described as a man of sorrow. He was acquainted with grief. And when he was on earth, he wept. Why? Because he was sorrowful. He cried when Lazarus died. And that story always just really strikes me, Emily, just this idea that Christ was so angry over the reality of death. Like, he was going to raise Lazarus. He knew he was going to do that. But yet the reality of death just broke Christ so much that he wept over this reality that this happened to his friend. And that is so touching to me as a Christ follower, that even though Jesus knew he would heal Lazarus, he still said, I am so sad that this is a reality for my people whom I love.
What I love about that story is that it shows us that not only is that response not wrong, but it's actually the right response to sin and death. To go, if Jesus responded to every situation perfectly, then the most perfect thing he could have done in that situation was weep. And that gives us all the permission in the world to know that when our heart breaks because we see death and suffering and things not being the way God designed them to be, we can be sad. Mm-hmm. and that's okay. And that's actually our heart longing for and affirming who God is and his goodness. And at the same time, being sad at what the world is. We even see in Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, that God is grieved. It says God was grieved by the utter sinfulness of mankind. And in Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, we see that we can grieve the Holy Spirit by our sinful actions. And so we have an example of Jesus grieving, God the Father grieving, and the Holy Spirit grieving. It means that the Godhead, even at some point in some way, has sorrow over this. And so, again, we can have that same response and reaction. It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel down. It's okay to need space to process and to cry out to God in our hurt.
Those things are signs that your soul is healthy. Can you imagine if we were just stone cold in the face of death and hard things, that if we didn't weep or we didn't show emotion or we didn't say, this is not okay. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been comforted. It's kind of like a toddler coming up and, you know, like you're crying and then they're like, Mom, I need food. Mom, I need water. And you're like, hang on a second. Like everything in this world has imploded. And so it's good for us to say, I feel this. I'm going to express this, and to allow the fact that these things are hard to be true all throughout our body, soul, mind, and spirit, you know, and instead of stuffing it down and saying like, I have no response to this. This is, this is not true or real, or doesn't deserve my tears. Okay. So another, truth is God is with us when we grieve. And I know in some of my deepest griefs, that's when I have actually felt most distant from God. I feel like I hear tell of these people who say, I'm so close to God in this, and I can feel him deeply. And I know we all experience grief in different ways. And for me, I would say that that is sometimes when I feel most far away from him. And pain can seem to kind of conceal God from us. Oftentimes people will report that these are big seasons where people will experience doubts. Sometimes for the very first time in their lives, they might doubt God's promises, his goodness, or even his very existence. And I know grief can make many of us ask a lot of those existential questions, very basic rudimentary questions about like who we are, who is God, what is he up to? Is he good? What do I believe about him? And we've talked a little bit about doubt on the show before, but there's that element of doubt being an okay thing. Doubt is not necessarily something that we need to eradicate from our faith, but instead see it as sort of a part or an element of our faith, and that it is really a natural process in our grief. We know that from scripture that God never does leave us. No matter how far away he may feel, he is always with us. And scripture tells us that God's heart is inclined and near to the brokenhearted.
Yeah, and a third truth is that God uses our grief for good, for his good plans and purposes. I think this can be a really hard one for us to think through, but scripture tells us that it is a tool for our sanctification, and it can actually help strengthen our faith. I know that one of the songs I really loved that helped me endure some really hard seasons of grief is the song, How Firm a Foundation. And I'm pretty sure I used to sing these verses out of order, but it didn't matter because the truth was still good. And it's when through the deep waters I cause thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. This is a good part. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. And what I love is that that is a picture of someone going through trouble and trial, but not being fully consumed. So the waters, like, they're going to come up, but they're not going to overflow. You're not going to drown in it. Like fiery trials, like you're going to go through fire, but the only thing that's going to burn away is the dross. And the thing that's going to stand is only going to become more refined and more beautiful. And that's just so encouraging to me that we're only seeing kind of one part of the story that God is writing. And it's often not until years later, or maybe not even in our lifetime, where we will see and know all of what God was doing in this greater, grander way. Recently, I was reminded of the story of William Tyndale, who translated the Bible into English at a time where that was not allowed. It was outlawed to translate the Bible into English so that, quote unquote, normal people could read it and understand it. And he was actually executed for that. So he died, and his last prayer as he was being executed was, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." And so he dies, William Tyndale dies. But what's amazing is that 3 years later in 1539, King Henry the Eighth, I think, ended up requiring every parish in the Church of England to make a copy of the English Bible available to its parishioners. So like, William Tyndale did not live to see that that prayer was answered. He went through tremendous suffering, grief, persecution to do this work that God had for him to do. And he died before he saw what God did with that. But God answered his prayer. And we can now look back and see that narrative and see, oh, that was so worth it. And God was doing something in the midst of that. But we can't have that perspective on our own pain and our own suffering so many times. So I think it can be helpful even to read the stories of other saints to remember, like, that's going on in my story too, even though I don't know the details and like how this is going to fit into like the greater story.
Yeah, and another way God uses it for our good is just, it allows us to understand and comfort others in their own sorrows because we've been through it ourselves. And over the summer, there was a shooting at my church, and one of the books my pastor recommended that we all read was A Grace Disguised. And in that book, he talks about how our souls expand in grief, how our souls are more like a balloon. They're elastic and they grow larger in suffering. And after I read that, I actually started hearing people talking about it all over the place. You know, it was one of those things where I'm like, oh, this feels like a new concept to me, but everybody apparently knows this but me. But the thing with grief is that often we are experiencing more anxiety, more depression, more worry, more darkness. But because we have come to know that darkness so well, we also now have the capacity to experience light even more. So the peace, the joy, the love, the kindness. And that is really incredible because I know I saw that pattern in my own life as I think through the griefs that I've had and the seasons of suffering. And as I've come out of them and seen that, you know, I have become a softer, kinder, more compassionate person because I've experienced loss in both big and little things. I think of, you know, my own daughter's disabilities, and I am a way more understanding parent to other parents. I just recognize more that, hey, parenting is really hard and you don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. And there might be a lot of invisible things, or there might be really hard griefs. That is one of the reasons why that mom, you know, burst out in anger at the store or whatever. Like, it has made me much more compassionate to other mothers and parents. Or because I've experienced kind of the critique of the internet as a woman in leadership, I am a lot more compassionate towards those who are in leadership, whether that's online or offline, but just to understand that, hey, there are a lot of things pulling for that leader's attention, and there are a lot of invisible reasons to the public eye of why someone might make a decision, and we can't know what we would do in that situation. And so I've been really grateful for that, because as I've experienced my own losses, I feel like the Lord has made me a much more peaceful person. And because I've known some of the deep darkness of things, I'm also much more willing to offer light in those dark spaces. And I'm able to do so because I've been through it myself. And so I think that there is real beauty there of the sanctification that occurs through sorrow and grief. And that is definitely a way that God uses it for our good.
Well, as we move throughout this series, which again, we really hope that you'll join us for, one of the things that you're going to hear people come back to again and again is just the joy and the peace and the rest that we can have in Christ, regardless of our circumstances or our situation. And again, that's not to negate the feelings that we have, but that we do have hope as Christian moms, that we are still going to struggle. We're still going to suffer. It doesn't make things perfect overnight. One of my kids recently was asking me in the car, I was really surprised by this question. He said, "Mom, what is one of the hardest things you've ever been through in your life?" And I said, well, you know, actually, I think it was like a couple of years before I became a Christian. I said, I don't know that those are the hardest things that have ever happened to me, but I remember going through hard things and not having the hope of knowing my security was in Christ. I said, it was really, really, really depressing to struggle and to make unwise choices and to just not know any assurance, any security. I felt like my whole identity could just get, you know, burned down in a minute and have nothing beyond myself. It was so dark. And I was just sharing with him that I've had hard times since then, but I've always had Christ. I've always had God. And I've always known that deep down and eventually everything would be made right. And there really is a comfort in that. It's not a platitude. It's a true piece of hope that we can hold on to.
Hey, my name is Abigail Sloan, and I'm a part of the Risen Motherhood community because I really value the wisdom that they pour out every week and every day. As a mom, I have three little kids who are ages 4, 3, and 1.5, and I need wisdom from other moms who've been there before, and not only worldly wisdom, but wisdom from the Bible. And that's why I'm a part of Risen Motherhood, because I get to hear truth from God's word that redirects my focus and my perspective in my daily motherhood.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.